Isn't this a sports show?
We have 18 minutes left, and we haven't actually talked about anything.
Almost entirely.
Whenever we come back, we'll talk about football. That's a promise that we probably will not be able to live up to. That's next.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Whenever every other station in the city is on a commercial break, maybe we won't be.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
This isn't exactly how I phrase it, but this is the more concise way for me to be saying this. This show's better when I prepare more. Duh.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
If you want to throw bread at me for $5, you can 100% do that.
On ESPN Kansas City.
All right, so you heard in the intro, I've admitted before, this show is better when I prepare more. Today is looking pretty rocky. No, we actually have a few things that I'm excited to talk about, and also, like, just a very busy day today. Lots of busy things happened earlier in the day, and then I ended up going to vote today for people that I knew very little about. Literally only two of them were any sort of contest, and I voted, but I had to fill out a provisional ballot, so I was there for, like, an extra 20 minutes, because I just changed my address a little while ago. It wasn't in the system yet. This is the price we pray, we play, play, pray, pay. Pay is the word I was looking for there. It's the price we pay for democracy. I was minorly inconvenienced. And the show was fully derailed. So, Beards is here. He's walking around as we speak. I don't know how Beards is doing. I haven't even I've been here for a little while, but we were talking about some other stuff, and I don't know how Beards is doing right now.
I had to turn down the air conditioner. It was a little warm back here.
Crisis averted.
Barely.
Also, Roy Halladay died in a plane crash, the former Phillies pitcher. That's super sad. That's probably the only time we're going to talk about it today. That really sucks. If you're just hearing that for the first time here, I'm sorry to break that news to you. It's sad. I got nothing else on that one. Nothing. Ooh, Mike McCarthy has said that he has great faith in Brett Hundley. That's exciting. Also, breaking news from a little while ago. In fact, I can't believe these weren't the first words out of my mouth. The Houston Texans are shuffling their quarterback room. We've been saying for weeks now, especially since Deshaun Watson was injured. I've been saying Colin Kaepernick makes all the sense in the world to keep the Texans in the AFC South race. Kaepernick is a perfect fit whenever Watson took over as the starter to be backing Watson up. And now especially that he's hurt, you've got to bring Kaepernick in. That system's going to save the Texans season. So here's the official tweet from Ian Rappaport. The Texans...
Oh, wait. Do we want a drum roll?
No, I'm going to just read the tweet. Do you have a drum roll ready?
I can get one.
I don't know. Get out of my way! Get out of the way of the joke! The Texans are shuffling their quarterback room. Ex-Giants quarterback Josh Johnson is signing with Houston, source said, while Matt McGloin is getting released. That doesn't make any sense, Pierce.
Okay, I'm done.
Only three drum rolls too late. But yeah, so the Texans have brought in a new quarterback to challenge Tom Savage. Josh Johnson. Awesome. The actual thing, though, that I was kicking around this morning on Twitter was something that was funny that happened from the Los Angeles Rams. Head coach Sean McVay admitted to essentially just straight up lifting a play from the Chiefs and using it this weekend. It was funny, and Peter King mentioned it in the MMQB, I guess, where it came out. It doesn't really matter. But the Rams, with the highest points per game average in the league this year, are taking plays out of the Chiefs book and doing it better, which I think is really interesting. Now, there are some counterpoints that we'll get to in a second. But first, at least take this front end of it here. The Rams are averaging 33 points per game, and the Chiefs are averaging 28. Now, averaging 28 points per game in the NFL is nothing to weep at. That's what the Cowboys are doing, and they obviously just had a win last week. Can't remember who they beat. Just on the tip of my tongue. Can't quite place it. But the Rams are outscoring the Chiefs by an average of 5 points per game, and their offense looks really good. It not just because of their opponents. It looks like this offense is doing a lot of things very, very well. So, I now take a look at who the Rams are doing that with. Jared Goff, Todd Gurley, Sammy Watkins and Robert Woods, and a bunch of tight ends I've never heard of. Unless you want to argue that Jared Goff is better than Alex Smith, meh. That Todd Gurley is better than Kareem Hunt, that's fine. That Robert Woods is better than Tyreek Hill, please. Or that any of those tight ends are better than Travis Kelce, literally an impossible argument to make. The Rams are doing more offensively with less talent. Now, you can look at the offensive line disparity. I'm not super confident that that offensive line is doing anything abnormal. And we'll talk about the Chiefs' offensive line later today also, because there are some things that are obviously bothersome there. But I think it's interesting that the Rams are the most prolific offense in football this year, taking a peek at what the Chiefs are doing and doing it to greater success than the Chiefs are. And now part of the points per game thing is elevated by the opponents, I understand. The Cardinals' defense isn't terrible. They put 33 on the Cardinals. Put 51 up this week on the Giants. They scored 27 against the Jaguars. They lost by only scoring 10 to the Seahawks. Scored 35 at the Cowboys. Have you heard of that one before? I think that that's absolutely worth critiquing. You can look at the common opponent, and that's imperfect, but it's at least something. You can look at a Jaguars team where everybody says that defense is great. They put up 27. I think it's interesting. Yeah, I guess the place that I'm kind of walking you up to is, Andy Reid's not managing this talent as well as Sean McVay is managing his talent, because Sean McVay is doing it with a less talented roster. If you want to find a place where maybe the Rams have an advantage, you can look to the offensive line. I'm not an expert in the Rams' offensive line play. What the Chiefs have done has not been good. The offensive line was not good on Sunday, and that was the first game with Ron DeVray-Tardif back. I'm willing, in a vacuum, to say that we can give them through the bye week. That's fine. The problem is that after the bye week, there aren't any real tests throughout the rest of the season that will make me feel very differently about what to expect next. But the offensive line is another thing I was thinking about this morning. The offensive line has quite a bit invested in it. And now, like, the draft picks used for guys like LDT and Mitch Morse and Parker Anger aren't that big of a deal. But there's a lot of money in Eric Fisher and a first overall pick. There's a lot of money in Mitchell Schwartz. There's a lot of money in Laurent Duvernay-Tardif. There's about to be a lot of money in Mitch Morse. The left guard spot is the only thing that doesn't have a lot of resources in it. I believe Parker Anger was a fourth-round pick off the top of my head. And he's not even starting right now, for reasons I still don't fully understand. You even go trade a draft pick for Cameron Irving to add to your depth. It's hard to evaluate an offensive line fairly. I know that The Eagles have a really good offensive line. I know that the Colts have a bad one. I'm not sure I know anything else for sure about offensive lines in the NFL. But the production that the Chiefs have put out there these last few weeks have been really, really disappointing. Another place where that has reared its ugly head, where I think this is absolutely two different things playing into the same conclusion. Kareem Hunt had 9 carries versus the Cowboys on Sunday. He had also exactly 9 carries versus the Steelers, the Chiefs' 2 worst offensive games. I don't know which one's the chicken, which one is the egg, and even if I did, I guess that also wouldn't matter because the chicken and the egg thing, that's like the whole point. But I don't know if Kareem Hunt not getting enough carries means the offense isn't working, or if whenever the offensive line isn't working, Andy Reid doesn't want to waste time giving the ball to Kareem Hunt on the ground. I have to believe those play together, though. The offense is better when the run game is working. The run game works better when the offensive line is working. None of that is, as we say, rocket surgery. But it does give me pause, and I know that there's a wonderful sentiment being passed through Chiefs Kingdom that, you know, if Andy Reid, and somebody on Twitter said this really, like, it was reasonable. In fact, I can just probably find it. It was a, his Twitter name is Beanie McBeanface. I'm going to guess again, also not on his birth certificate. But he said, you know, lots of concerns right now, but they come out and play the next 5, like the first 5, we'll feel a whole lot better about the big picture too. And I don't really think that matters. I'm not going to say that I'm the face of fatalistic Chiefs fans, but I know that I fit in that subgroup better than I fit in any others. I look at the next 5 games in Mr. Beanface was saying, this, I don't just mean wins, I mean destroying the opponent. Now, the Chiefs did. They blew out the Patriots. They squeaked by the Eagles by a touchdown, which is, again, a win that looks amazing now. Beat the Chargers by 2 touchdowns, and not a great game offensively, by the way. They beat Washington by 9. They trounced the Texans. If they blow out their opponents in the next 5 games, at the Giants, Bills at home, at the Jets, Raiders at home, Chargers at home, if they go 5-0 through there and they win every game by 2 touchdowns, I think I'm still going to be here waiting for that playoff game, remembering the Steelers and Cowboys games before I remember the wins that came more recently. And I also don't think that's irresponsible. I don't think that's a silly thing for me to do, because I've never doubted that the Chiefs can blow out the Giants, Bills, Jets, Raiders, Chargers, etc. That's never been my concern. My concern has always been what happens in the playoffs. It's why I was getting tweets during those first 5 games of people saying, why are you so negative all the time? Because winning in the regular season is a really good indicator of what comes next. And if the Chiefs were 8-1 right now, and they had just dropped a game, they had just dropped that Oakland game. That Oakland game does not stick with me. It really doesn't. I didn't see a version of the Chiefs in that game that's going to become a long-term problem. The defense wasn't very good, but the way they lost to the Raiders, I feel like if they went back to Oakland again on a full week, they would probably win in Oakland. I really think that. I'm fine believing that. That game doesn't stick with me. And it's not even just the losses. It's how you lose and the teams you lose to. So getting beat at home by the Steelers by 6 points whenever your offense does nothing, that is long-term concerning. Losing at the Cowboys, a little less so, except for it looked too much like the Steelers game offensively. Really, the difference was that the Chiefs had the Hail Mary. If Tyreek Hill, if the Cowboys defend that like a punt, and Tyreek Hill gets tackled inside the 10 instead of scoring that touchdown, then the Chiefs have their lowest scoring game of the year. It's a 28-10 loss, even worse than the 19-13 loss they suffered at home at the hands of the Steelers. That's why the Cowboys game is problematic for me, is that it looks too similar to the last thing that left me really concerned. So I'm hesitant. Or I just feel like I'm seeing the future already, and it's not. What happened just there is I hit my cough button a little bit before I needed to. I was reaching out for the cough button, and it kind of... It's like I can just be talking, and if I bump it a little... Oh, no, that's... Hey, there it went. Does it crackle whenever you hear it?
It did that time.
Because whenever I hit the cough button, it always kind of crackles in my...
That crackled for me.
Huh, that's interesting. The time I just did it just then, it... Oh, that's weird. I guess maybe it's just if it interrupts me. So if I do it like a real professional, I'm like, oh, I need to cough.
No, you're good.
I've coughed. It's good. But what if I just like...
A little bit.
I just licked the microphone. That was gross. Oh, sorry, it was a lot of silence. It was a very long silent stretch.
I was going to see how long it went.
How long was that stretch of silence?
Oh, probably a good 15, 20 seconds.
No way. That was not 15 seconds
of
silence.
See, here's the thing. I don't want to move the recording thing.
Oh, because it'll bleep it up. Okay,
yeah.
Whenever next segment, tell me.
I can do that.
Tell me how that worked. In fact, let's just do the thing that we should have done 15 to 20 seconds ago.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
This is not going to be a 15-minute segment on Colin Kaepernick. Don't skip ahead. It's okay.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Beetlejuice, 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 Kaepernick, Kaepernick, Kaepernick.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Important development during the break. I have 280 characters on Twitter.
So do I.
So does Beards.
So do you, probably.
Yeah, they're rolling it out right now. I don't know if there's any... method to the madness. Charlie walks into the studio. Charlie, do you have 280 characters yet? We do. 280, baby. They're out everywhere. It's everywhere.
He says he only has 140.
No way. Really?
Uh-huh.
Wow, Charlie's the last person on the planet with... oh, man, my mentions are a disaster. I'm wondering if the mobile app has updated yet. Maybe that's the problem. No, it's still 140 on the mobile app, Charlie. So if you
just said you're annoying, Josh.
Oh yeah, it's a disaster. So this is actually I heard somebody in the other studio say the word Mahomes. Sorry, I got distracted. The 280 character thing, honestly, is probably a terrible idea. I definitely would want, like, if they could have just made all links take up zero characters, as they're doing with making, like, handles not take up any characters.
That'd be nice.
That would have been funny. I don't want to say things that take 280 characters. I'm never going to have a 280 character tweet, other than what I just put out just now, without using it for like saying here on today's show. But even then, somebody else who got 280 early on in the process was just like, today on blah 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 blah, at blah, 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 blah was on talking about hashtag blah, blah, blah. And my eyes just went right over it. I just saw that thing and went, whoop. No, thank you. That tweet's too long. I'm a millennial. I'm easily distracted. I don't read blog posts. I don't watch vlogs. I want 140 characters and vines. R.I.P. So I'm not sure the 280 character thing is going to work out. We're not going to go back, though. They can't go back. Also, like, think about this for a second. Whenever you have a problem, and like, I need more of this thing, your first response should never be, double it! Because there was an AP story about how many Twitter released, like, a certain percentage, like 9% or something, of tweets put out in English went all the way to 140 characters. So, like, it was, like, some, like, data on how cramped tweets were.
Only 9?
It was very low.
That seems extremely low.
It doesn't really. One in every 10 tweets goes to 140 characters exactly. That makes sense. But think about this. Like, what if you've been hungry, right? And you're saying, all right, I'm at home. I have made myself a sandwich, a big, good sandwich that in almost every instance is exactly how much food I want. But I'm a little hungry. I would like a few more calories in my belly. I'm going to make another giant sandwich. Like, if you went to McDonald's and you ordered a Big Mac, R.I.P., and you ate that Big Mac, and you're like, you know what? I'm a little hungry still. Your first response should never be, I'm going to go get another Big Mac. So Twitter was like, you know what?
People could just have Uber Eats deliver it for you.
Oh, man. That's eventually going to happen to me, and then one of you is going to have to kill me. I got no one. My heart disease is going to do it.
Call back.
I forgot that. I forgot about that. I'm trying to find the stats now from Twitter to see how many, like, what percentage. Oh, there's also some sort of money behind it, thinking that they're going to make it. Okay. Make it easier to pay for something. Okay. Awesome. That's what we really need. I just think it's kind of silly that they said, all right, here's a problem. The problem is, did LeBron tweet an Angry Arthur meme?
Yeah, last night.
We interrupted a regularly scheduled program.
That was an interruption. Wow, that was a tone. That was a subject shift silly. Mid-sentence.
Almost mid-word. Because on Around the Horn in front of me, it said LeBron. Arthur meme, something or nothing. And it was like you just dangled a hot and fresh pizza right in front of my eyes. Like, what could have been more distracting? Like, you could have had, like, 1,000 puppies run into the studio while carrying 1,000 delicious pizzas. And I couldn't have been possibly more distracted than I was by that. Anyway, they shouldn't have to double Twitter. Like, making it, like, a 180 characters would have been plenty. Okay, this is amazing. So, I assume that if you're listening to this show, you probably know what the Angry Arthur meme is. It's Arthur from the kids show, the PBS show. It's Arthur making a fist.
Right before he punches his sister.
Right.
But I watched.
I think the meme has transcended above that. I don't think the Arthur fist means you're about to punch someone. It's just like that's the international symbol of anger.
Yeah, that's fair.
But LeBron just tweeted a poorly cropped version of that with the caption, mood, ..
That was like after the Celtics won last night. So it was 9th in a row.
It was after Kyrie. Oh, I thought I was going to have the number of points. Kyrie put up 35 in the Celtics 110-107 victory over the Atlanta Hawks.
I watched the end
Monday.
Of that game. It was fun.
Thank you, Beards. The timing of it is kind of interesting because that game, I would have just assumed that it was because the Cavs are, what, 4-6?
Yes.
That feels like it would have been a good enough reason to post that, but that's very funny.
I mean, LeBron's always passive-aggressive like that.
Gene, are you close with LeBron? With King James, as we call him here?
Only through the eyes of the internet. I don't know where I was going there, but that worked.
That's creepy, though. Yeah, that's not cool. I continue to hate NFL Network, by the way. I gotta stop looking at NFL Network.
I've got MLB TV on today.
That's also rough. Why would you bother?
Oh, believe me, it wasn't by choice.
AP headline, Pakistani bride kills 17 in botched plot to kill husband. Oh, wow. Okay, so whenever I read that headline, my thought is, how do you accidentally kill 17 people? Pakistani police arrested a newly married woman on murder charges after she allegedly poisoned her husband's milk, and it inadvertently killed 17 other people in a remote village, a senior police officer said Wednesday. She had a boyfriend who may have convinced her to try to kill her husband. Okay, so none of this story is whatever, fine. The real thing I'm looking for, though, is how did 17 people drink her husband's milk?
Could have been just a giant pitcher of milk that she just planned on delivering to him, and then everybody else found it and was like, oh, hey, free milk. And then they just all drank it at once.
And she was, like, married against her will, so I understand. Like, that's terrible. I just want to know. I just want to know how 17 people drink the same milk. I never really thought about milk. Milk's weird, man.
The word's weird, too.
Milk. Not really. But, like, that's for cow babies. That's not for us. We're not supposed to drink milk. It's weird. I also had another Chiefs point I wanted to go to, but I feel like we've almost gone too far to come back to that.
We have been all over the place in about 3 minutes.
I told you today was going to be weird, man.
I didn't expect going from... Where all have we been this segment? We went from...
Where were we before the Twitter?
This hour's been a disaster.
Oh, the first segment was good. Shut up.
Yeah. What do we start with?
If you're listening to this on the podcast, you can turn it off now. You got a good first segment, okay? The first segment was good. I told you some stats about the Rams you didn't know, and the Rams would have a better offense than the Chiefs, even though their talent was worse. Get over it. This is free. And again, it shows. Where did we start this segment before the Twitter character limit? Was that where we started?
No, I think that was the one. That was where we started because you were super excited about you.
Oh, but also I wanted you to talk about your lunch. Because Beards texted Charlie and I and said something about how good his lunch was today. And I've never heard Beards be excited about anything other than the NBA and going home. And so for him to be this excited about a pizza place was stunning to me.
So we usually, whenever we do Wet Wild Wacky Wednesdays, we'll usually try and go to lunch together beforehand.
We've done that one time failed to do it every other time.
I know. Like I said, we'll try.
We're batting Alex Gordon right now. We're batting like 200-ish.
But anyway, I was super hungry today and I really wanted pizza. So I pulled out my phone and was like, all right, where are some pizza places nearby that I haven't been to?
Okay.
And I found this place and a...
Talk slower. We have another hour and a half to fill.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So I got in my car after class and decided to go over there, and it was exceptionally good. It was called Leone's. They do it by the slice. It is really, really good. So I think we should go there.
Why?
Sometime.
Why is it really, really good? What kind of pizza did you get?
Pepperoni. It's New York style, kind of. Big ol' slices. Really
that good. Sounds good.
Oh, it's really good.
Oh, man, I had a single slice of pizza somewhere recently. Now I can't remember where it was. Dang it. Oh, it was at Johnny's.
Johnny's is pretty good.
The P&L, yeah. And they were like, here's, you want to buy a slice of pizza? Like, oh, yeah, $5 for a slice of pizza. That's kind of whatever. It's fine. They brought it. It was like, foof. Like, it was like, it was.
They're big pieces.
It was over the edges of my paper plate.
They're big pieces of pizza.
All right, again, if you are just joining us, you don't like what you're listening to. You're listening to In the Know here on ESPN Kansas City. Angry tweets can be sent to @NotThatRudy. And also Charlie Carlin Casey.
He said that's not the right Twitter account, but that's okay.
Steve Carlin Casey. Damn it. Well, listen, now I've said your Twitter handle for the intro for Wet and Wild Wacky Wednesdays next week, Charlie. We'll bring your Twitter handle back into the mix a little more. How many Twitter followers do you have, Charlie? Charlie currently acting as if he doesn't know the exact number. Beards, you're under 120 still, right?
No, I think I'm at 120 now. I've moved up in the world.
45,600. Oh, sorry, that's 810.
I was like, wait a second, Charlie. Wait a second. You should be hosting the show if that's the case.
467.
467.
Really? I would have definitely bet on the over of 500. Why? Retweet yourself more on the 810 account. Retweet yourself. Tell you what, Charlie, this is something no one here does. Go ahead and tweet throughout Chiefs games constantly, and every tweet you have, even if it's misspelled or if there's poor punctuation, every single time go retweet yourself on the 810 account. We'll get you over that 500 mark. You're currently listening to Sports Night on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Currently listening to this. Hi, I'm Stephen St. John. Don't like this show? Tweet me. Tell me about it.
I like how you're following up your impressions with hi, yes, this person.
Yes.
Thank you. I really.
It's my best work. Truly, it's.
I really
best
didn't
work.
Know who you were. I thought you were Nate there for a second.
No, that's my favorite. Hi, I'm Curtis Siebold. You're listening to the program. Don't like it? Feel free to tweet me. I'm Curtis Siebold.
God. Has this been the worst segment we've ever done?
Top five. Did you say no, Charlie? Did you say this is not the worst segment we've ever done? Is there a worst one? Worst one? What's been worse?
I mean, we did end last segment with 30 seconds of silence.
Charlie now interrupting Beards to say that he might have gotten the 280 characters, which that's cool. I also want to talk about Jim Irsay and Andrew Luck. I guess we can do some of that now. If we're done with the pizza talk.
Yep. But seriously, we're going there tomorrow for lunch, right?
I just got the 280.
Oh, look at that. Look at that, Charlie. I'm proud of you. Yeah, sure. I would go there tomorrow. Ooh, no, I got to get my car fixed probably tomorrow morning. I can't hear what Charlie is saying. He looks very pleased with himself, but I can't hear it.
It's going to double my followers like it doubled my characters.
Not going to happen. I'll hit you with a maybe, Beards. I'm going to Wichita on Saturday, so I got to make sure my car's tire pressure thing is not an actual problem.
Charlie Pros is a great question. Why are you going to Wichita on Saturday?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'll explain it at some point later. But the actual truthful answer is I don't know. Jim Irsay, owner of the Colts, has apparently said to Tony Dungy, supposedly, that he thinks that Andrew Luck's injury is inside his head, in which case he should probably see a concussion specialist, not a shoulder specialist.
Or just a brain doctor in general.
Yeah. So, Schefter has a thing here. It says, Adam Schefter explains why it's not a secret that Colts owner Jim Irsay believes injured quarterback Andrew Luck needs to overcome mental obstacles. My mental obstacle, if I was Andrew Luck, would be playing for the Colts. Like, honestly, they gave up. Jacoby Brissett got sacked 10 times a few weeks ago. I would be mortified to go back to that team. Truly, like, he's out for the year now, which is good. He should start rehabbing, and also, like, overcoming a mental block is reasonable. Like, that might just take some doing. I would be okay with that. considering that this is a guy that you thought, you know, a year and a half ago, could be one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. But Jim Irsay now sounds impatient, I would say. He now sounds impatient with Andrew Luck's recovery. And they're going to botch this, man. Andrew Luck's never going to be the same. Or, here's something I tweeted out a few days ago. You should be thankful that the Chiefs drafted Patrick Mahomes. Because if they didn't, you would have to listen to an entire offseason of me telling you that the Chiefs should trade for Andrew Luck. Because, man, Andrew Luck and Andy Reid, oh, it would be I would be all over that reclamation project. But the Chiefs have Mahomes, now it's not an option. So now, of course, what's going to happen is that Andrew Luck is going to quarterback the Broncos to the Super Bowl next year, and we're all going to die. And also, there was something that came out a couple days ago about how the Colts aren't going to like look away from this year's quarterback draft class. Like, they love Jacoby Brissett, but they think that Andrew Luck is coming back, but they're not going to ignore this quarterback draft class. If Jim Irsay really is impatient with Andrew Luck, you move him. You go see what kind of king's ransom you can get for a broken quarterback who has a tremendous ceiling. I just found out that this Facebook Live video for today's show has 11 comments, and I am terrified to look at them.
15.
They all had to be from the first segment, right?
No, actually. Somehow we've gotten feedback from this segment, which is probably just a bunch of people yelling at us.
Okay, so a couple of things. I like reading all the comments myself because I want to make sure I see everything that's coming through. You gotta help me know whenever a bunch of comments do come through, because after the first 45 minutes of a show like today's have been, I just assume that everyone has turned it off. I assume that no one is watching or paying attention in any way whatsoever. Anyway, I think the Colts are probably going to move Andrew Luck if Jim Irsay actually is impatient with him, as he seems like he is. I think that'd be a really terrible move because you're going to get stuck in Jacoby Brissett purgatory. Not hell, purgatory. And some other team is going to get a quarterback that's going to be not terribly risky. I guess it depends on the price tag. Jimmy Garoppolo just cost a second round pick. AJ McCarron is about to be a second and a third, and I would happily take Andrew Luck over either of those guys right now. I have seen too much good from Andrew Luck, unless my team doctor went and looked at Andrew Luck and said, man, this dude is not ever going to be right. Like, which is where Sam Bradford is right now. The Vikings are probably going to put Sam Bradford on the injured reserve instead of cutting their third-string quarterback that they've been developing, apparently. They're probably going to put Bradford on injured reserve, and there was that report several weeks ago now that the doctors literally couldn't even tell the extent of the damage in Sam Bradford's knee because there was so much scar tissue around it that it was impossible to see through all the scar tissue to see the new injury. Unless you get a doctor that does that on Andrew Luck and you go, oh man, he's toast. Then I guess you have to do some real thinking. But even then, that's a risk I'd be willing to take. Right now, with all of the question marks that are coming by every single apparent pro-ready quarterback coming out of the draft this year, I would rather take that shot on Andrew Luck. You take my first overall pick if I'm the Niners. Or not the Niners anymore, I guess. The Browns. Oh, God, don't let him go to the Browns. The only place that Andrew Luck could go that would be worse than the Colts right now is the Browns. And also, like, I definitely still do, by the way, from a Chiefs perspective, resent Andrew Luck tremendously because he's caused me more pain than my parents' divorce. That's a callback to, like, a different show that no one listening. Are you going to play that liner next? Okay.
I might do that.
Beard's going to play that. If that joke doesn't make any sense, then you'll get it in about 4 minutes. But so that playoff loss will stick with me forever. But I also like the NFL better whenever there are good quarterbacks. I don't love seeing them against the Chiefs in January, but every other week I prefer having guys who play like Andrew Luck and like Deshaun Watson did this year, and Aaron Rodgers, rest in peace. And the Colts are going to ruin Andrew Luck. All right, during this commercial break, I am going to, because I have poor judgment, I'm going to dive into the comment section, and then next segment we will respond to your comments, unless they're hurtful, in which case I will block you from the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Then I realized that NFL Network right now is doing a top 10 list of top 10 Peyton Manning games. God, that man has caused me more pain than my parents' divorce.
With Joshua Briscoe.
My parents aren't divorced.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Welcome back to Almost Entirely Sports. I mean, man, just what a disastrous show we're having. And we're not even.
I mean, we're
through.
Kind of enjoying it.
Oh, yeah, I am.
But at the same time, we recognize, like,
you might not be.
There's the iceberg. Here we come.
In case you missed it at any point, Aaron, who is at AC Shutters on Twitter, he's been putting together some just like a really ridiculous number of show related like badly photoshopped things, and I just showed, I'm not tweeting this one out and I'm not sending this to Beard or Charlie.
We've seen it and it's phenomenal.
But there's one that he did. It's that picture of apparently the founder of Jimmy John's on top of a dead, naked on top of a dead shark. But it looks like Jim McElwain, the
no,
head coach,
it was Jim McElwain,
the ex head coach of the Florida Gators.
We can feel safe in saying it was Jim McElwain.
Well, he took that picture and photoshopped my face onto it, and it's awesome. I'm not tweeting it out. I'm sorry. You have to imagine
aggressive
that,
cuddler Joshua Briscoe.
You'll have to imagine what that looks like. But if you're listening to this show now after the show we've done so far today, go to Twitter and Beards and Charlie should use. Because I'm not sure you guys have been tagged in everything that he's made so far.
I've seen most of them. I think most of them have been tagged.
If you go to at AC Shutters on Twitter and just open to all of his tweets and his mentions that get directed to me, you'll see his full catalog. And they just make me happy. Some of them make no sense. And
no,
it's great.
But they're great. I think my favorite one though is like the LeBron warm up, and he's just got the A's.
Yes.
The entire like all the times on it, as well
yes.
as like the big logo that we've got
yes.
just on his shirt.
I'm gonna at some point have to like email him like the vector files and everything. I want to see him take it to the next level where he doesn't have to go in and like start erasing things by hand or whatever. He's doing it with the worst possible tools of the promotional material.
And
I
yet
put
they're
out.
Great.
And oh, they're perfect. No, they're perfect. Anyway, Aaron's point, I guess a few days, sometime last week, or over the weekend maybe, I don't even remember. He tweeted out that Almost Entirely Sports, as a show, is the Titanic actively seeking out the iceberg. And I love that. I love that so much. Now, first of all, it's more like a speedboat. Or like a jet ski. This show's a jet ski. But we are actively just trying to find the iceberg to run into and just see what happens. Maybe this time we'll run into the iceberg and it'll bring out great show content. The people that are not sold on the Rams, which is kind of weird because I watched them a lot this weekend. And I know they beat the Giants, and the Giants are terrible. The Chiefs are not going to beat the Giants by, 41 points? Oh, no, sorry, merely 44. No, 34.
God.
The Chiefs aren't going to beat the Giants by 34 points next week, even coming off of a bye. It was at the Giants, by the way. I am buying into the Rams, not necessarily as unstoppable, but as a genuine team that matters, that you should care about. And someone said, well, they haven't really beaten anybody yet. They beat the Cowboys! And they beat the Jags, who everybody feels pretty good about. They put up 33 on a Cardinals defense that is pretty good, and they've held them to zero. They beat Washington by a touchdown. I've heard Washington get used in Chiefs-related conversations as a notch in their belt. If the Chiefs and Rams changed resumes, I feel like you would be very excited about your chances. The Chiefs have certainly, don't get me wrong, the Chiefs have certainly played the more difficult schedule and have the more impressive wins, but I don't think you can say that the Rams have not beaten anyone. Although I will be very disappointed if they win the Super Bowl in their god-awful uniforms that have like the little sliver of gold, even though the rest of their helmets and their pants are just black and white, but they have the little gold on their like jersey accents. It's the absolute worst. It is the worst thing ever. It is worse than getting all dressed up for Halloween and no one getting your costume. The worst thing ever. Beards, explain what you just did and what you just realized in that moment.
I looked back at Charlie to see if he got the joke and was laughing with us, and he's just typing away on his phone. Not
Charlie
listening.
Did not hear a syllable. He said what? What did
what
you
joke
say?
I didn't hear.
I said that the Rams uniforms, the gold on the Rams uniforms, is the worst thing ever. It's worse than getting all dressed up for Halloween and getting your costume. What did he say?
I thought slavery was worse.
We'll read your comments next.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City. You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
With a whopping 26 votes on this poll, and I'm going to retweet it again right now. So if anybody wants to follow me at JB Briscoe, you'll see the poll pop up now on your timeline.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Of course, in a poll about who wants to date me, you make this about yourself.
That's right.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Lots of things. It's always good whenever something happens during a break. Because it jump starts us into the next 5 minutes or so, which are always closely followed by, you know, eventually 30 seconds of silence. I'm also wondering what Beards and Charlie are so antsy about. What just happened?
Lebo was in here. He was accusing Charlie of stealing Danny's Coke Zero.
Did you, Charlie? I won't tell him. I won't tell him. It's okay, you can say it.
He's got sweet tea,
he did it, Danny. We'll talk about some basketball stuff later, but I don't have the stomach to do it right now. But after the game on Sunday, I can't believe we never really got back to this. I think it was Pro Football Talk who tweeted, like, would it be crazy for the Chiefs to just start with Mahomes now? With Mahomes rolling forward?
There was somebody on the postgame show that called in with that take.
Yeah, well, so Pro Football Talk did it first. To the tune of, you know, like 200 likes after 5 minutes of it being up. Pro Football Talk tweeted, is it crazy to think Andy Reid should have a plan for switching from Alex Smith to Patrick Mahomes if the current 1-3 trend continues? What did you just fist bump at?
RJ just tweeted us and said that tune in is fixed. So
shocking.
Okay.
Again, that's just pure luck.
It is.
And it'll be
tomorrow. It'll be broken in about 5 minutes, please. Yeah.
But there was the that sentiment was brought out on Sunday. And for that trend to continue, it would have to continue all the way through the rest of the year and then in the playoffs. And then, yeah, then eventually they would move to Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is not starting this year unless Alex Smith gets hurt, period. And it's fine, too. Listen to, like, there's a stat that just came up on my timeline. The best completion percentages on deep balls, 20 or plus yards downfield this season. 1, Alex Smith. 2, Drew Brees. 3, Josh McCown. Now, there are a couple of things here for the skeptics among us or whatever. First of all, Alex Smith, Drew Brees, and Josh McCown is a really confusing group of three quarterbacks. Those are not what you would consider to be deep passers in first and third. Around Drew Brees, you have to consider your company a little bit. But the real thing here, and I think the thing I've been saying forever, is that I don't think I've ever said that Alex Smith can't throw deep. I don't think I've ever said that Alex Smith is incapable of throwing a deep pass accurately. My concern and criticism has always been that he just doesn't do it often enough. And I would like to get more on, what are you guys cackling? Both of you are cackling at something, and I hate being left out of jokes. You should know that. Lebo's coming in to get Charlie's phone number so he can tweet it out. But I just want to see Smith continue to throw the ball deeper more often. I think he's perfectly capable of it. I can't stick with my serious Chiefs take. Because Lebo has come into the control room now with his librarian glasses on, hanging off the end of his nose.
He says he's going to tweet your number out next.
Do it. Go ahead. Oh, it's fine. I feel like there's a lot going on around me currently, and I'm not the type of person to block out the haters / distractions. Not one bit. If there's a rabbit running around here, I will chase that rabbit forever. Till one of us dies. Hopefully the rabbit, because rabbits don't live as long as humans. Anyway, I just want Alex to throw the deep ball more often. Patrick Mahomes is not starting this year. Silly. It's not going to happen. There's no plan for that either. I would be truly stunned. Again, barring an Alex Smith injury. I'd also still be stunned if the Chiefs, you know, win a couple of meaningful playoff games. If they, you know, end up in the AFC Championship game, I'd be stunned. In the last 2 minutes, Aaron has, in case you don't know what the angry Arthur meme is, there's now a version of it with my face on Arthur's fist with the Almost Entirely Sports logo behind me. It's stupendous. I've been promising you that I would check out the comments of the Facebook Live video here. Let's see what came down the line. Alex says, Reed needs to play to win. He always plays not to lose in the second half. He needs to keep the creative play calling into the fourth quarter. This is interesting because I think that was largely true throughout a good part of last season. But the Chiefs, for the first five games, were, I think, the best fourth quarter team in football. So it's kind of a funny thing that gets stuck by Andy Reid as a guy who sort of starts playing prevent offense as soon as possible. But the Chiefs hadn't had that problem early on in this year. Then it obviously switched. What are you guys laughing at? They're both watching Beard's computer, so I'm guessing that Lebo did something behind me.
Yeah, he stuck his head in the camera. It was funny.
You've done a lot of cackling.
It's been a funny show so far.
But I haven't gotten to be a part of a huge portion of that.
Have you talked any sports?
Almost entirely so, yes.
We're also laughing at you a little bit.
That's also fine. I just want to know what I've done that's funny.
Charlie just said existed.
I could cancel Wet and Wild Wacky Wednesday. I could do it. I could just take it from you. Also, I love that where Charlie is sitting in the Beards cam, you're just getting like him from like the nose down. It's really uncomfortable. Sit in a chair, Charlie. Sit in a chair right there and... You know what I mean? It's kind of disconcerting. It's kind of like a headless horseman kind of thing.
Isn't it like in like kids' cartoons or whatever the adults are always shown? Where it's like they're not showing their head. That's what Charlie is right now.
Charlie is the teacher in Charlie Brown. Hey, that's funny. Scoot back into the frame, Charlie, but just be at a human being level.
This is a small control room back here, man. There's not a lot of space.
I just thought it was funny that his head was out of the shot.
It was.
Maybe you have to put the camera somewhere else for the rest of the show so you can get Charlie not listening.
I'm going to have to figure out how to put the camera to you tomorrow.
We've done that consecutively.
I know, but it's weird. It like shows off the reflection on the glass and all that stuff. So I need to try and find a way for it to not do that.
We could have Charlie sit to my right this time.
We could. Anyway.
I refreshed the page, and now I can't see all of the comments. I just see whatever. Zach says, you've already talked about who you think the Chiefs will release this offseason. Who do you think within reason Brett Veach would pursue in terms of free agency and the trading market for how they stand this coming offseason? I know you have a small sample size in terms of his acquisitions, but it would be an interesting thought if he were to go after a receiver or corner or middle linebacker to try to replace Derek Johnson. It's a good topic. We'll run with that one for a little bit. It's impossible to start projecting free agents in the next year because the number of teams who haven't made their decisions on who's getting let go is so tremendous. I think you can look, however, at areas. I've said that I don't think that Dee Ford's going to be back next year. I don't think Tom Bahaly's going to be back next year. So all of a sudden you're looking at a very, very weak set of outside linebackers, because you don't know where Daddy Nicholas is in his development. You don't know where Tano Pastineau is in his development. So I think that also with the premium that pass rushers are placed at, I think the Chiefs probably go invest in another pass rusher very heavily next year, probably through the draft, but you only have the second-round pick because the first-round pick has been spent on Patrick Mahomes. Also, the Chiefs just invested a second-round pick in Tano Pastineau, so having to do that again would be bothersome. However, Pastineau's not gotten on the field yet, hardly, so we have no idea where he is. That gamble really needs to pay off for this defense next year. Otherwise, they're going to be facing some issues. Although, you know, the issues they'll be facing is not having Dee Ford, Tom Bahaly, which isn't huge. One thing that John Dorsey was a big proponent of that I would assume is also going to show up in Brett Veach's strategies, because they're a part of, you know, the same management group or whatever for a while. The commonality was that John Dorsey liked to draft guys the year before they would replace someone else. So for Dee Ford, we thought it might be Tom Bahaly. That one obviously didn't pan out that way. We just kept all three of them. But it was Eric Fisher before Brandon Albert. I'm trying to think of the other first round picks in that trend. But even throughout the draft, it seems like Dorsey liked to say, all right, this is the guy we're going to take now, and we're going to bring him in with the thought that he will develop and then replace this guy next year. I think that there's a really good chance that Brett Veach did that with Reggie Ragland this year. So we're going to bring in Reggie Ragland in this offseason, and then he will take over DJ's spot next season, or at least Derek Johnson will take a much smaller role. I would expect to continue to see some more of that. Marcus Peters was brought in to replace Sean Smith 1 year after. That was the other guy that I was thinking of. So I think that's where I would be looking now, is not even necessarily the gaps that have to be filled next year, because in theory, most of those guys are already in the system. That's the theory for Reggie Ragland. That might be the theory for a guy like Cam Irving, unless it's purely a depth play, which right now I feel like it has to be. But then you also look at, okay, well, then who is coming through a year later? I think there's a really good chance we're going to see the Chiefs invest in another left tackle soon. I think Eric Fisher's contract is pretty easy to get out of after next season. I'm going to double-check that here. But I have to imagine that Fisher will be gone as soon as his number is cuttable. And they've got to do something else with their cornerback spots. Last week was really weird because they started with Steven Nelson at the outside spot, and then they brought in Kenneth Acker, and they brought in Terrence Mitchell. Shuffling all of those guys is not the kind of consistency you want from a defense, especially a defense that doesn't have the corners travel with the best receivers. So that would make a lot of sense position-wise. I think the Chiefs would love to stay as stable as possible. Benny Logan, a guy who signed a one-year deal this offseason, I would imagine they would want to bring him back, even though he's costing $8 million this year. He's the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He's the fifth highest paid player on this team, but I imagine that you want to go ahead and invest in some of the people that you can use to stabilize here. Also, if the Chiefs do end up trading Alex Smith, they're going to have a really nice, and they'll trade Alex Smith, they'll cut Tom Bahaly, maybe cut Derek Johnson, and cut ties with Dee Ford. That's going to give you some wiggle room. So there should be a free agent at least that's brought in as kind of one of the top five, maybe high profile guys. Obviously, the non quarterback division, where you try to sort of reset the market on getting yourself a little more stability to put around Mahomes on either side of the ball, frankly. The defense right now seems like the larger problem talent-wise, but the offense is struggling right now also. The offensive line is also... I think that's an interesting place to watch because, as I was talking about earlier, there's a lot of money invested in that offensive line. Next year, in 2018, if Eric Fisher is released, oh, this is interesting. I didn't even realize this. If Eric Fisher is cut before June 1st next year, he is a $9.3 million cap relief and a $4.5 million. Oh, no, I screwed that up. Beards, can you hit the dump button and undo the last 30 seconds of this show?
Our dump button only works for like 3.5 seconds.
Well, darn. I read this backwards. Sorry. Eric Fisher next year, to cut him would give you $9 million of dead money and only $4.5 million of cap relief. The next year, it's $5 million in dead and $8 million in relief. So I think that there's a really good chance you see the Chiefs trying to find their left tackle of the future. Maybe it's later in the draft. It seems like... Andy Reid is a little more prone to trying to get, and Andy Reid, maybe it's John Dorsey, I don't know, a little more prone to trying to get offensive linemen later in the draft and then develop them. It worked for Vernay Tardif, it worked for Zach Fulton, it looked like it was working for Parker Anger. Mitch Morse was a second round pick? I'm not asking Beers, I know he doesn't know, and I'm not asking Charlie because I know he's not listening. Thank you, Beers. Charlie just staring at me angrily. Usually whenever... 49th overall pick. So Mitch Morse was a bit of an investment. But that's kind of the exception. I don't think the Chiefs are going to go super high with their next guy they bring in, but also, like, who else are you playing on left tackle? So I think there's a chance you see a left tackle brought in. That's sort of the surprise. Not to take over next year, but to be in line to take over the year after. Was that enough? Oh, no.
What happened?
Aaron sent us a picture of a train wreck and just wrote, "Today's show." It's a picture of a literal train wreck.
I mean...
Not wrong.
He's not wrong.
It's not wrong. Charlie's good at a lot of things, you guys. I really promise. But he might as well just have nacho cheese in his ears. He never has any idea what's going on. Just straight up nacho cheese. Both ear canals. Now Beards and Charlie are fighting over the thermostat in the
control
room.
I had it set the way I wanted it, and then he messed with it.
Charlie just walked over and turned the heat up in the control room, and then Beards went, hey, no, turn it back. It's hot in here. Turn it back. RJ also says, I think this might be in response to something else, but I can't see all the comments because, oops. He says, any time besides the Texans game, Charkendrick West runs the ball is the time Spencer Ware could have really come in handy. This was interesting at the trade deadline, actually. I was looking at the Bengals roster because they've got Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard, and they just drafted Joe Mixon. And I think this week, Jeremy Hill was like a healthy scratch. He was really good for a nice like year and a half long stretch or so. Going and making a move for running back to help out Kareem Hunt with the load management of the... Joel Embiid is marked out tonight? Joel Embiid was listed as out.
I did not see why.
I just said it just now.
You said he's marked out.
No, did you hear why? The reason that...
No, I don't know why.
His designation was that he was out versus the Jazz due to load management.
Nice.
Yeah.
There were, on that reference, just really quickly, several years ago when Tim Duncan was still in the NBA, Pop.
This is not a portal for an NBA take.
Just let me, real quick. Pop set out Tim Duncan, and he listed the reason as DNP old.
It's funny.
There we go. There, I'm done. Was that too much? Was that so bad?
Whoa. Way too much.
He was listening to that.
God, what was I going to say? Oh, it would have made some sense for me, I think, for the Chiefs to have made a move for Jeremy Hill to help Kareem Hunt out with the managing of that number one running back spot. I don't know if the Chiefs are in any way just trying to keep him fresh or if they're truly uninterested in running the ball, but it would be a whole lot more interesting for me to see this offense have another option alongside Kareem Hunt. Spencer Ware would have been great because, especially in these two losses where Kareem Hunt's only got 9 carries each time, I don't know if that was for the protection of Kareem Hunt or because Andy Reid was not interested in running the ball, but if it was the former, another back would have been great. I think we're catching up on the... Oh, and Alex also said, where have the counter runs, the creative run calls to Hunt been? We did it the first 5 games, and then the genius Reed gave up on it. I don't know. Yeah, I'm in the same place. I don't... The way that the Chiefs have managed Kareem Hunt has been kind of odd. It doesn't necessarily seem like they're trying to protect him because he's doing a lot of really basic stuff that sets you up for your running back to really get bashed. It's just not been particularly creative. I thought part of it had to do with not trusting the offensive line. So if you want to be really optimistic, you can think that LDT wasn't quite right this week and that he'll be better after the bye, maybe with Parker Anger, because the Chiefs definitely got a little less creative, at least running the ball up the middle whenever Mitch Morse and LDT were out and Zach Fulton and Cam Irving were in. But that doesn't check out anymore, so I don't know. It's a good question. That's my only theorizing. Zach also mentioned I can think of multiple moments against the Steelers, Raiders, Cowboys, where Spencer would have really come in handy. Yeah, I agree. It would be nice to have both of those guys in the backfield, regardless of what reason it is that that Andy Reid is not using Kareem Hunt as often as I would like to see him using him. Zach also says, I can understand Ragland for Johnson, but there are also two different types of linebackers who could replace all the versatility that Johnson has. Well, this is an interesting thing that I saw come down today also, is that during the Cowboys game, apparently Kevin Pierre-Lewis was playing in some of the spots where Daniel Sorensen had been playing, in some of those places where Sorensen had been playing that kind of hybrid safety linebacker that we've talked about. But Sorensen is overmatched in those setups because he's not a linebacker. He's a safety trying to play at linebacker depth, and that doesn't work very well. But Kevin Pierre-Lewis was doing it pretty effectively against the Cowboys, so I think that gives you another guy that the Chiefs just traded for. I think Kevin Pierre-Lewis and Reggie Ragland can manage some of it. I don't think the Chiefs are going to end up, though, with another inside linebacker like Derek Johnson. Very, very few teams have that guy. I mean, maybe Luke Kuechly is one of those guys, but I don't know if you could... I don't think you could give me 10 guys in the league who are just like a middle linebacker that can do everything. I don't think that really exists. What happens then is you have to have flexible defensive coordinators and guys that can do different things. Where Ragland, when I think at his healthiest, and once he gets up to the NFL game, he's essentially a rookie at this point, still remember because of his injury. Whenever Ragland is at his best, he is just blasting through gaps, and that's where he's at his strongest. Kevin Pierre-Lewis is very fast, very versatile, and good in the pass game. That's all fine with me. I think that might give you a chance to just have some different guys doing different things. It can make it a little more difficult to manage in specific situations if you feel like you're being threatened by, you know, oh, is this a run, is this a pass setup? Either way, that can put you on your heels, but it's probably the future the Chiefs are going to have to live with. They're not going to find another Derek Johnson. Also, Clinton asks for a number one draft need. For me and for what the Chiefs believe, I think is going to be different because I've seen things from Terrence Mitchell that I feel pretty good about, but the Chiefs tend to turn away from Terrence Mitchell in recent weeks for some reason. So maybe they would be looking at a cornerback. I think that they're going to address left tackle very soon, if you bring in a guy that will replace Eric Fisher, because you cannot put Patrick Mahomes behind an offensive line with no left tackle. So if something happens to Fisher, or if his backup or his successor isn't in line soon, then you have a chance of wrecking a rookie quarterback with a bad offensive line. I think there's going to be a lot of questioning about how that offensive line works, but there's already a bunch of money in Mitch Schwartz, a bunch of money in LDT, draft capital in Mitch Morse, and a lot of money in Eric Fisher. So the amount of places that can upgrade it is very minimal. If they want to upgrade at left guard, they have that on the roster now in Parker Anger. The number one draft need is probably going to come on the defensive side of the ball. I think that DeMarcus Robinson has shown some really nice things. Chris Conley will come back next year and be maybe the number three receiver on this team. The defensive line has been problematic, but everything changes by way of draft need if you change defensive coordinators. Now, I'm still not going to say that Bob Sutton is the reason the Chiefs lost to the Steelers and the Cowboys, because he's not. But Matt Verderam and also RJ's in the comments here now have tweeted a couple times about Rex Ryan for Chiefs defensive coordinator, which I've mentioned before Matt Verderam brought it up. I mentioned it to Beards, I think it was on Monday, which was yesterday. And I said that
it was yesterday.
Fantastic.
Monday was yesterday. Yeah.
Confirmed. I would go out to Chiefs practice at every possible availability to try to talk to Rex Ryan as much as possible.
Also yesterday.
Right. Yes. Which was Monday.
Can confirm, says Charlie.
Freaking got Woj and Schefter back there. You guys are killing it with all
this. Breaking news. Tomorrow will be Wednesday.
I need a second source.
Wet and wild, wacky Wednesday tomorrow.
Oh, wow. Not only is it a Wednesday tomorrow, it's a
Wednesday. That was risky.
It was risky.
It was risky pulling the mic towards Charlie.
It was, man. I saw the fear in your eyes.
There was like a half second there where there was nothing,
yep.
And I was like, oh, yep. Well, this didn't work.
Yep, I had the exact same line of thinking. I went, well, this might backfire. I would love Rex Ryan in Kansas City. I don't know if the defense would be better, but I would love that. And so if that changes, though, all that to say, weirdly sportsy segment to sort of be a sandwich for a very not a show with a lot of fat in the middle. No one's gonna hear this. Everybody who wanted Chief stuff is tuned out, and everybody who doesn't want Chief stuff is tuned out now too. If they do make a change to defensive coordinator, though, it changes what the defense is going to be made up of. Like Reggie Ragland was traded to the Chiefs this year because he was not a fit for a defense that had shifted from a 3-4 to a 4-3. He's more of a 3-4 inside linebacker, even though the Chiefs don't run a lot of base 3-4. That's where that trade came through. So if there is a scheme change, a lot of things change. I think Chris Jones and Alan Bailey could be 4-3 defensive ends. I think Benny Logan could be a 3-4 defensive tackle. But then you're starting to ask Justin Houston to do different things. I think Justin Houston is made for a 3-4 defense because it lets him do all sorts of different things, and he's good at all sorts of different things. So that would be pretty bizarre. Because then essentially, if you're running a 4-3, every time Justin Houston rushes the quarterback as a linebacker, it's a blitz, and you've got five guys getting after the quarterback. I don't see that working to the Chiefs' advantage from a scheme perspective. I don't know what Rex Ryan would do if he was in Kansas City. I don't know what any defensive coordinator would do, but I think for as long as Justin Houston is Justin Houston, this should be a 3-4 defense. So then, again, number one need, I would love to see another Marcus Peters, obviously. I think the Chiefs are in a pretty rare situation where they could do that. They could have Marcus Peters and then the next Marcus Peters opposite him, and you've got Steven Nelson in that slot. You've got Terrence Mitchell and Kenneth Acker as reasonable rotation guys if you need to bring more D-backs out there. That would make a ton of sense. The one other thing, and we'll take a break and we'll come back and talk about the NBA, I guess. I don't know. The one thing that is probably going to be the most painful one to really consider and is frankly not all that realistic yet, is another strong safety. Or at least another safety of some sort. The problem is, Eric Berry, he's a He's a $13 million cap hit next year. In 2019, it's 16.5. In 2020, it's 13.5. And he can't. Never mind. I guess this just can't be true. Because he will be a Chief through 2020. 2021, they'll cut him. Or something will get restructured, as often as things do here. But with the... calling him an injury risk is kind of unfair just because, you know, he missed huge chunks of time. He's not an injury risk at this point. But I do think this defense would look a lot different if Eric Berry was still here, or if the drop-off wasn't from Eric Berry to Eric Murray. So I think some more safety depth would make sense, but I also don't want to see the Chiefs part ways with Ron Parker. But a lot of things in this defense seem just good enough to not move on from, but not quite good enough to be considered a strength. And that's, you know, like a perfect microcosm of what this Chiefs defense is. All right, whenever we come back, we'll talk about one of the ball kids, not Lonzo. I don't think I knew that this kid existed until just now. One of the Ball brothers got arrested in China for shoplifting. That's next.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Also, that's a little bit of a hang-up when there's, like, alcohol advertisements.
Right, exactly.
That's kind of an issue.
Yeah, right.
Because your sister's, what, how old?
8.
With Joshua Briscoe.
If she's like me, she's got at least 6 more years to go before she starts drinking.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Josh Gordon's officially off suspension in the Browns building today.
Oh, he's been suspended again.
That was quick. He had a GQ article, actually, about, like, his, like, battle with addiction and everything. It was amazing. He was talking about drinking before games and, like, doing a couple of shots before a game to, like, get the machine running or something like that. It's just crazy. So, you know, I hope he's back and is good. Because, again, I like the NFL when it has good players in it. I think there's a while where I'm guessing that a lot of, like, Chiefs fans, and not specifically Chiefs fans, but fans of anybody, kind of just sort of root for everybody except for their players to fail. And I kind of get that. I think I was there for a while. That might have changed with fantasy football first. But now, like, as I just watch the NFL, I want to see good players play and then lose before they have to play the Chiefs in the playoffs. That's what I want. There's a really specific spam bot that keeps responding, like, instantly to Adam Schefter tweets that I've seen show up, like, in several occasions. And one of them was in response to Schefter's tweet about Roy Halladay dying. It was really bad. Just a tweet. That's weird, man. Twitter bots are super strange. There are some that are hilarious, truly. Most of them just kind of baffle me. They must work. To some extent, they must get some people to, like, whatever, click the links in their bios. Because, like, why else? How is that a good investment of your time unless there's some return? Unless there are some people out there. You go, ooh, more pictures of you. Don't mind if I do click this random Google link. And then all of a sudden, your entire house is burning down with the computer
virus. Yes, I will click virus.org.
Right. That's too straightforward. There's no way that... Aw, dang it.
Not a virus.com.
Oh, that's, they have to, it's the internet, you have to tell the truth.
Totally safe link.
.gov.
AlmostEntirelySports.com.
Don't go there. Hold on, is that taken? AlmostEntirelySports.com.
Charlie wins credit for that one, by the way.
Good job, Charlie. Site can't be reached. All right, Beards, I need you to tell me about what happened with, LiAngelo Ball, which I literally did not know was a person.
He's the middle ball.
Beards cracked himself up there.
I didn't realize what I said until it came, until I said it.
Charlie's laying down on a desk. I had to turn away from the microphone so I didn't cackle.
So anyway, he's
it's the middle ball brother.
Okay. Yes.
He is.
He is the second oldest.
He is younger than Lonzo.
Yes, and he is older than LiAngelo. LaMelo. Yes.
Wow. How did I know that you didn't? That's a shameful.
They all have weird names. Anyway. Apparently the UCLA basketball team's in China, getting ready to start their season. Yeah, for whatever reason. And three of the players, including him, got arrested for shoplifting from a Louis Vuitton.
That makes more sense. Because whenever you said, you told me that they got arrested for shoplifting in China, and that was kind of just on its own, like, really bizarre, because I was thinking, like, well, what? I just can tell you what I guess my word association with China is. It was like, well, like, are they stealing, like, food? Like, ramen? Like, because I... Looking forward to the show being over so I can try this bowl noodle soup. Spicy kimchi flavor. But also, like, don't you... Man, if you told me I had to go shoplift from somewhere, and I had to get away with it, or else I was gonna, you know, spend time in jail or something, I would not try to shoplift from a Louis Vuitton. I feel like I would know, like, I would expect to get
caught. Especially if your dad is a very recognizable figure.
Well, so this is the next thing. Ball family's got money. For sure, right?
Well, theoretically.
I would think they would have money. Now, maybe it's more image than content or whatever. But, like, I feel like trying to steal from Louis Vuitton is really exceptionally stupid.
It's not smart, especially in China.
Were they just, like, did they go into the
It was
dressing
next to
room?
The hotel. So, I don't know.
It what?
It was the Louis Vuitton was next to the hotel the teams were staying at.
I'm just wondering, like, did they, like, go into the dressing room and then, like, put it on underneath their clothes?
The article that I've read hasn't really said anything about how.
That's how I would steal from Louis Vuitton if I was going to.
It's more just, you know, they went and talked to the Georgia Tech team who they're playing in China, and they went and talked to some of the UCLA guys trying to figure out, you know, who did it, and they were, like, quote, house arrest under a hotel room, and Charlie just threw a punching glove keychain at me.
I was watching him threaten to, and I just was like, but silently, I was doing it with my eyes. That's what a wonderful story. Do you also, Beards, want to tell me in 2 minutes why I shouldn't end it all because the Phoenix Suns are the worst?
I mean, they're not the Knicks or the Nets or the...
But they're the worst. As an organization, they're the worst.
They're not the Sixers.
They traded Eric Bledsoe today to the Milwaukee Bucks. Dude. I would so much rather
I'll
be a Sixers fan right now.
Staff. Yeah, their medical staff has been really good.
I would so much rather be a Sixers fan.
Thumbs up for medical staff in Phoenix, in Philly. You've misdiagnosed how many injuries over the past few years?
They traded for...
Including franchise guys? Yeah, that's really trustworthy.
Breaking news, Andrew Luck's been traded to the Sixers.
Basically.
The Suns traded Eric Bledsoe today to the Milwaukee Bucks for Monroe and a
Greg
first
Monroe.
And second round pick.
Yeah.
But they're both protected like for the next decade. And so whenever the Bucks, I think it's a 2021, it's unprotected.
I think that's
they're probably
right.
Getting the pick in 2020. It's like if it's between 8 and 30, I think in 2020 they get it. So they get a first round pick that they won't see for 3 years and the expiring contract of Greg Monroe. Can you explain the expiring contracts to an audience that is more of a Chiefs fan base than an NBA fan
base? Salary
cap's
not
exact. This took me a while to get my head around. I feel like you can explain it better than I can.
Salary cap's not exactly my area of expertise. There's a lot of that financial stuff I need to learn better. Don't punch the equipment. That's worth more than your salary for 5 years.
Well, let's find out. Hold on. What kind of microphone is this?
The one that's expensive.
The Electro... Yeah, it's like... This is like the default Electro Voice... What's the number on this one?
RE20.
Let's see. From Amazon. with the mount and the brace and everything, it's $500.
So that's 2 years?
It's a year and a half.
Okay.
God, I'm so sad.
Again, you're not the 1 in 10 Mavericks.
I don't... That's not the... yeah, the Mavericks have had something to be happy about in forever. Remember whenever you said that LiAngelo is the middle ball?
I do.
Remember that happened?
I do.
Do you remember when that happened a couple minutes ago?
I still chuckle every now and then.
Just thinking back to that,
yep,
to that one time 5 minutes ago. I genuinely, by the way, still have no idea if new comments have come in since we last took all the questions. I have no idea how Facebook and this internet and everything are not working. What is that face for?
Aaron has struck again. Almost entirely sports, the white buffalo.
What? What does that mean? Instead of answering my question with literally anything, Beards just turned off his microphone. You're a disgrace. All right, I had a pretty good show today. I'm going to call it quits. on PTI earlier, by the way, they were having a conversation about... Oh, maybe we should have gotten that Ben McAdoo sound. Oh, we never played the Brett Childress audio!
We still have a segment after this one.
I feel like ending the show on Brad Childress talking is really simmering now. They're talking on BTI earlier, though, about Ben McAdoo and Hugh Jackson debating which of those guys has more of a chance to stick around next year. The NFL has so many. Charlie just tried to pour pepper on Beards. Beards is now punching Charlie with a keychain. What's going on? Stop fighting. Also, again, they're doing this all in pure, utter silence, which is awesome for radio. So I just sit here and do play-by-play of their quarrel, of their skirmish, because literally, as far as everyone except for me and each other of them are concerned, they're making zero sound and giving zero context to anyone else on the planet other than the three of us. That's the spirit.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
So that's usually how this works, is usually the first hour is kind of like, has some construct to it. It's like, all right, here's like the A block and the B block or whatever.
And then everything just goes off the web.
What was that?
I had to cough.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
All right. Well, today is almost over. That's good. Tomorrow we'll have some Chiefs sound. We'll talk about, you know, whatever's going on. We got to get through a long Chiefs off week. The bye week is going to be rough. Also, I got to say personally thank you to Zach on the Facebook who said, nah, nobody has commented.
Thank you for telling us. Now we don't have to check for ourselves.
He says there's only three people watching at the moment. I'm personally just listening. That's fine. That's cool. That's okay. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't missing anything. Just, nah, nobody has commented is awesome. This is such a good contribution. We had a plan coming back for this. I also just realized that this isn't even, again, this... I am a politically interested person. This is not a particularly political statement. I just realized, though, that Donald Trump is going to have now an extra 140 characters for all of his tweets. And because his tweets do generally and genuinely, mean news every time, that's going to just, double our news consumption. John Orend from the Sports Business Journal just tweeted this. This is a single tweet. 280. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. That all fits in one tweet now. Also, Piers, if you and I talked about, you're a history guy, which I assume for some reason means that you've read A Tale of Two Cities.
Nope.
Well, believe it. Have you seen The Dark Knight Rises?
Yes.
The Dark Knight Rises follows a perfect, it is borderline plagiarism of A Tale of Two Cities. It's amazing. It's not plagiarizing it, obviously. It's alluding to it. It's interesting. And The Dark Knight Rises came out right as I was reading A Tale of Two Cities in high school. And that comparison was amazing. And then also at the end, spoiler alert for The Dark Knight Rises, which came out in Dark Knight Rises 2012. Appropriate amount of Jeopardy music for sure. Spoiler alert for a 5-year-old movie that everyone saw. Whenever they're having Bruce Wayne's funeral at the end, I think it's Commissioner Gordon that is literally reading from A Tale of Two Cities, and it just proves it's another little callback to A Tale of Two Cities and the fact that whole movie follows the plot line. It's interesting. I actually liked A Tale of Two Cities. I don't think I enjoyed most of my forced reading.
Oh, there were a bunch of books I didn't like.
Give me one, right? What if I say, what's a book that you had to read that you didn't like?
Oh, Pride and Prejudice.
I don't think I ever had to read Pride and Prejudice in its entirety.
Scarlet Letter.
I kind of liked the Scarlet Letter. Eh. I was okay with the Scarlet Letter. Wasn't a Huck Finn fan. Did not enjoy that.
Didn't have to read that.
Really?
Nope.
I would have guessed. This is kind of interesting. This is kind of an interesting conversation if we had a larger listenership right now. I would want to know, what do you think the most prevalent book that you have to read in high school is? What is a book that just everyone has read?
Pride and Prejudice is up there, I'd say. Not including Shakespeare.
I was going to say Shakespeare.
Not including
sense.
Shakespeare.
Oh, man. So this was... Now, listen, as if you've followed any of... If you followed me around for a while, if you stalked me literally... I was homeschooled forever, and Beard just flashed up the 2-minute sign, and he was the home, the finish line, I can see it. But I was homeschooled, but I also did the 2 days a week, whatever, go to the other a homeschool co-op group, ran an actual high school, whatever. But what I think it was my freshman year of high school, our English teacher made us read Romeo and Juliet. Where we would each read a part.
Oh yeah, I did that too.
That was too awkward, too furious. Tokyo Drift.
I think we did it though. Every act, we switched up parts.
Yeah, we definitely did also. But that was just you just would dread that. I would dread that. Oh man, this is setting us up for just only the most awkward interactions of all time. It's the most awkward, possibly the most awkward time on earth. Anyway, freshman years. For homeschoolers, you are jumping head first into a vat of awkward things. And I did not help. I feel beyond Shakespeare, I think I would probably say Huck Finn. It's probably the most... Hold on, we have 30 seconds to figure this out.
45.
Most popular book in high school, taught in high school. Here we go.
I never had to read
Fahrenheit 451.
Never read it.
To Kill a Mockingbird's the answer, though. You never read To Kill a Mockingbird?
Nope, never had
good.
To. My sister read it, but I think we went to the same high school, but I was 6-7 years older than her. And she started in sixth grade, and I didn't get there till eighth.
So I think that was one of the reasons.
This is a To Kill a Mockingbird, Fahrenheit 451, Animal Farm.
Never read it.
Great Gatsby, Death of a Salesman.
No. Oh, you're reading it now.
1984.
Read it.
Lord of the Flies.
Yep.
All right, when we come back tomorrow, Bruce tells us more things that he has or hasn't read. That's next. Bye, Mom.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.